Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Abu Amo v. United States, docket number 25-5146, decided June 11, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. While employed at Twitter's San Francisco office, Ahmad Abu Amo gave a high-level Saudi official confidential information about Saudi dissidents using the platform, and in exchange, the official wired him $300,000. Around the same time, Abu Amo left Twitter and moved to Seattle. When two San Francisco-based FBI agents came to his Seattle home to interview him about unauthorized disclosures of Twitter account information, Abu Amo denied wrongdoing and, while the agents waited, went upstairs, created a fake invoice, and emailed it to one of them. He was indicted in the Northern District of California for falsifying a record with the intent to obstruct a federal investigation. Abu Amo moved to dismiss the charge for improper venue, arguing that he could be tried only in the district where the falsification occurred. The district court denied the motion, finding venue also proper where the FBI investigation was located. A jury convicted him, and the Ninth Circuit affirmed. The question presented was whether venue is proper in a district where no offense conduct took place, so long as the statute's intent element contemplates effects that could occur there. The court held, a defendant charged with violating Section 1519 must be tried in the district where the falsification occurred. He cannot be tried in a different district where the investigation was located, because no conduct constituting the offense happened there. Section 1519 prohibits only one act, the falsification of a document, and once a person commits that act with the requisite intent, he need do nothing more to violate the law. Because falsification is the only proscribed conduct, venue must lie where the falsification occurred, which here was the Western District of Washington, where Abu Amo created the false invoice. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope it does not impact your listening experience. The following is the opinion of the court in Abu Amo v. United States.
The question presented concerns the proper venue for trying an alleged violation of Title 18 United States Code, Section 1519. That statute makes it a crime to knowingly falsify a document with the intent to obstruct a federal investigation. We hold that a defendant charged with violating Section 1519 must be tried in the district where the falsification occurred. He cannot be tried in a different district where the investigation was located. While employed by Twitter at its San Francisco office, petitioner Ahmad Abu Amo provided confidential information to a high-level Saudi official about two Saudi dissidents posting on the company's platform. In return, the official wired Abu Amo a total of $300,000. At around the same time, Abu Amo left Twitter and relocated to Seattle, where he started a social media consulting company. Two San Francisco-based FBI agents, who were investigating unauthorized disclosures of Twitter account information, flew to Seattle to interview Abu Amo at his home. During that hours-long talk, Abu Amo denied giving the Saudi official confidential information. The payments, he told the agents, were instead for consulting work he did for the official after leaving Twitter. When the agents asked Abu Amo for documents supporting his story, he said he had retained an invoice and would retrieve it from a computer upstairs. While the agents waited for him to return, Abu Amo created a fake invoice and emailed it to one of the agents. After concluding the interview, the agents returned to San Francisco, where they discovered from the emailed documents' date and time metadata what Abu Ammo had just done. Abu Ammo was indicted in the Northern District of California, which includes San Francisco, for falsifying a record under Title 18 United States Code, Section 1519. That statute makes it a crime to knowingly falsify or similarly alter, destroy, mutilate, and so forth, a record or document with the intent to impede or obstruct an ongoing or contemplated federal investigation. The indictment alleged that Abu Ammo had created and provided by email to the FBI a fabricated, false, and backdated invoice with the requisite intent to obstruct. Abu Ammo moved to dismiss the Section 1519 charge for improper venue, contending that he could be tried only in the district encompassing Seattle, the Western District of Washington, where the alleged falsification of the invoice had occurred. The district court denied the motion, finding venue also proper in the place where the FBI investigation had been located. A jury then convicted Abu Ammo of the Section 1519 charge. And the court, in ruling on post-trial motions, again rejected Abu Ammo's venue argument. The Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit affirmed, agreeing that venue was proper in California's Northern District because the FBI investigation took place there. Under this court's precedence, the Ninth Circuit explained, venue is determined by identifying the conduct constituting the offense. A trial can be held wherever that proscribed conduct, in whole or part, took place. One essential conduct element of Section 1519, the Ninth Circuit noted, is falsification of a document. Here, that element would point to Seattle as a proper place for trial. But, the court maintained, Section 1519's intent requirement, that is, with the intent to obstruct an investigation, makes the contemplated effects of the falsification another part of the essential conduct of a Section 1519 offense. And that aspect of the offense, the court reasoned, permits trial as well, where the investigation the defendant intended to stymie is ongoing or contemplated. Here, that place was San Francisco, where the agents investigating Abu Ammo worked. We granted certiorari in 2025, and now reverse the Ninth Circuit's judgment. The venue for trying a Section 1519 offense is, and is only, where the defendant falsified a document, because that is the only conduct proscribed by the statute. Venue in criminal cases mattered more than might be supposed to the nation's founders. Prior to the Revolution, Parliament enacted measures to try allegedly treasonous colonists in England rather than in their home colonies. The legislation was so roundly despised as to make it into the Declaration of Independence. Among the injuries and usurpations listed there was the practice of transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. After the Revolution, of course, the founders no longer had to fear transportation overseas. But they retained strong feelings about the unfairness and hardship involved when an accused is prosecuted in a remote place. As a result, the Constitution not once but twice safeguards the defendant's venue right. Article 3 instructs that trial of all crimes shall be held in the state where the said crimes shall have been committed. And the Sixth Amendment reinforces that command, entitling criminal defendants to a jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. To implement that constitutional rule, meaning to decide where the crime was committed, courts generally must determine the location of the offense's essential conduct elements. A court, that is, must initially identify the conduct constituting the offense, the things a defendant must do to violate the statute at issue. And then the court must ascertain the location of those criminal acts, the place where their commission occurred. See United States v. Anderson, decided in 1946, holding the locus do licti must be determined from the location of the act or acts constituting the crime alleged. Sometimes that inquiry points to a single district, sometimes it points to more than one, because the proscribed acts happen in multiple locations. But either way, the inquiry remains into the place of the crime's conduct elements, the acts that the prosecution must prove to secure a conviction. Under that framework, the venue for trying a Section 1519 offense must be where a document's falsification happened, which here was in Seattle. Recall the terms of the statute. It imposes criminal liability on a person who knowingly falsifies a record or document with the intent to impede or obstruct a federal investigation. The only prohibited act in that statute is the falsification of a document. Once a person has committed that act with the requisite intent, he need do nothing more to violate the law. He need not, for example, transmit the document to anyone else, nor must he use it in any particular way. As both Abu Ammo and the government agree, the crime is complete upon falsification, again with the specified intent. And that fact makes the venue inquiry straightforward. Because the only proscribed conduct is falsification, venue must be where falsification occurred. Here, that means venue must be in the district encompassing Seattle, where Abu Ammo created the false invoice. It could not be in the Northern District of California, hundreds of miles away from that prohibited conduct. Contrary to the Ninth Circuit's view, Section 1519's special intent provision does not lead to a different result. This court has never looked to a statute's mens rea elements in considering venue, nor would it make much sense to do so. Take the first, and more typical, of Section 1519's mens rea requirements, that the falsification be undertaken knowingly. A knowing falsification occurs at the same place as an unknowing falsification, which is to say, at the place of the falsification. The mens rea element thus adds nothing to the conduct-focused analysis. The same is true of Section 1519's demand that the falsification be done with the intent to obstruct an investigation. A falsification with that intent, like a falsification without it, again occurs wherever the falsification does, which here was in Abu Ammo's Seattle home. The Ninth Circuit treated that second mens rea element differently, on the theory that it made the falsification's contemplated effects part of Section 1519's essential conduct elements. But that is not so. The statute's concern with effects is instead confined to the defendant's mens rea, or as the Ninth Circuit might put it, his contemplation. Section 1519 does not require that falsifying a document have any impact at all on an investigation, that it in fact obstruct or impede an investigation, present or future. The statute thus differs from many federal laws barring actual obstruction. So, whatever obstructive effects Abu Ammo's false invoice may have had in Northern California, they were not elements of his crime. And because that is so, those effects cannot figure in determining where Abu Ammo's crime was committed. Our seminal decision in United States v. Johnson, decided in 1944, was based on much the same principles. We there considered the place in which a prosecution brought under the Federal Denture Act should be tried. That now-defunct statute barred a person from using the mails for the purpose of sending into a state any denture made by a non-dentist. Venue, the court held, was proper only where the product was put in the mail, Illinois, not where it was later received and used, Delaware. That was so, we explained, because under the Act, the crime of the sender is complete when he drops the denture into the mailbox. It was immaterial that the illegal denture traveled on to Delaware, as it is that Abu Ammo's false invoice reached California. Likewise, it was immaterial that the defendant acted for the purpose of transporting the denture into another state, as it is that Abu Ammo acted with the intent to obstruct an investigation across state lines. In Johnson, the crime was complete in Illinois, so that is where the trial had to take place. And here, Abu Ammo's crime was complete in Washington, so that is where he had to be tried. Just as in Johnson, contemplated effects, to use the Ninth Circuit's term, could not allow trial in another state, so they should not in the case before us. The government tries to escape those difficulties by declaring Section 1519 an inchoate offense with some integral relationship to another, though unspecified, obstruction of justice crime. True enough, the government concedes, that the only act Section 1519 prohibits is falsifying a document. But the statute's intent to obstruct requirement links it to offenses involving actual obstruction. And because that is so, the government contends, venue can be based on conduct that is an element of those other crimes, even though not of Section 1519. So here, the government posits, Abu Ammo's transmission of his false invoice to an FBI agent based in San Francisco would make California's Northern District a proper place for trial, because that transmission, though irrelevant to Section 1519, would be critical to proving some ultimate obstruction crime. The government analogizes its proposed approach to the venue rule used in conspiracy cases, which allows trial wherever an overt act furthering the conspiracy has taken place, even when only a criminal agreement, and not those overt acts, is required to prove the conspiracy charged. The fundamental problem with that theory is that Section 1519 is an independent crime, not an inchoate offense. The government, in arguing its case, points to Black's Law Dictionary's definition of the term. But there we find the following: the three inchoate offenses are attempt, conspiracy, and solicitation, as in, say, a conspiracy to commit murder, an attempt to commit murder, and the solicitation of murder. The government does not claim that Section 1519 is one of those three. And even if inchoate offenses are not a closed set, they are necessarily, as Blacks also says, a step toward the commission of another crime. But a Section 1519 offense need not be. Section 1519 has no specific object crime in the way inchoate offenses do. The government notably does not identify any obstruction of justice statute whose violation is the goal of a Section 1519 offense. And a person can, in some circumstances, commit a Section 1519 crime without taking any steps toward another crime. For example, a Section 1519 offense occurs, as the government agrees, when a person falsifies a document with the requisite intent and then puts it away in a drawer, so without ever using it to obstruct an investigation. Rather than define an inchoate offense tethered to a crime of actual obstruction, Section 1519 thus spells out a standalone crime for falsifying and otherwise tampering with documents. So venue for it must be based on the conduct that Section 1519 itself proscribes, not on the conduct another law does. Our holding today is discreet and narrow, as our venue decisions usually are, because it is based on the nature of the specific crime charged. Section 1519 prohibits only one act, that of falsifying a document. Because the government need show nothing else, a Section 1519 offense is relatively easy to prove. But with that ease comes one cost. Because the government need show nothing else, its venue options are confined. The trial for falsifying a document must take place where the defendant falsified the document. Here, that was in Seattle, meaning in venue terms, the Western District of Washington. The trial should not have occurred in the Northern District of California because no conduct constituting the offense happened in that location. We accordingly reverse the judgment of the Court of Appeals and remand the case for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. It is so ordered.